We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in turn on the news, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in turn on the news each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
Previously on Turn on the News, an attempted coup on the United States of America was going unpunished.
It is Thursday, January 6th. It has been 1 year, if you can believe it.
1 year.
1 year.
The 1 year anniversary of a violent assault on the center of America's democracy.
Five hundred twenty-five thousand six hundred minutes, 365 days since feces were smeared, 12,000 self-incriminating Instagram pictures, one Viking shaman doing 3.5 years. Infractors, infractors, this guy tried to steal a lectern. Stupid facts, huge douchebags, and this white shoe. 727 insurrectionists arrested. Who else should be jailed for this unsuccessful coup? How about this? Bomb is a traitorous scum. That's his terror that sun. That was a meanie but dumb.
7,328 camo-based outfits, 12,116 mason-induced tears, 147 treasonous dimwits, one of who really cannot pull off a beard.
Is that a bed? Skunk! Booty looks dry.
This week in January 6th history, 2021, Congress certifies Joe Biden as president, but some losers are still sore.
Today is the day American patriots start taking down names and kicking ass.
You can be a hero or you can be a zero.
Let's have trial by combat.
You'll never take back our country with weakness. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you.
But don't walk, run to the Great American Democracy's on fire sale with doorbuster deals on flags, podiums, signs, furniture, documents, and the Speaker of the House's gently used laptop, available wherever blue lives matter. Meanwhile, the president quickly denounces this riot.
go home. We love you. You're very special. I know how you feel.
Oh, but who are these lovable looters anyway? The answer is obvious.
They were masquerading as Trump supporters and, in fact, were members of the violent terrorist group Antifa.
Antifa, we knew it.
Because it is the one-year anniversary of the January 6th attack on our democracy. And I think it's important that we commemorate and reflect on days like this that so deeply influenced the history of this great nation. There's a reason Texas motto is not, "What's an Alamo?" The thing I remember from that day is how shocked I was at this grotesque tragedy. Now, one person who clearly has not forgotten the shock and horror of that day is Joe Biden. And President Biden went to the Capitol this morning to mark the first anniversary and asked all of us to relive January 6th.
Close your eyes. Go back to that day. What do you see?
Bourbon. Then he reminded us in graphic detail about what we can never forget.
We saw with our own eyes rioters menace these halls, threatening the life of the Speaker of the House, literally erecting gallows to hang the Vice President of the United States of America, destroying property. Literally defecating in the hallways?
Defecating. That is a very delicate, presidential, and high-minded way to describe MAGA maniacs smearing poop on the walls. These ignoble miscreants absconded with Madam Speaker's rostrum, set alight their cannabis cigarillos, and besmirched these hallowed corridors with their human detritus. The fecal matter had truly hit the oscillator. Then, I say to you, sir.
Then Biden turned his attention to the actions, or more accurately, the inactions of his predecessor during the riot.
What did we not see? We didn't see a former president who had just rallied the mob to attack, sitting in the private dining room off the Oval Office in the White House, watching it all on television and doing nothing for hours.
Excuse me, sir. Since when is downing a KFC family bucket doing nothing? He was working hard and he had the chicken sweats to prove it. Then Joe took the gloves off.
The former president of the United States of America has created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election. He's done so because he values power over principle, because he sees his own interest as more important than his country's interest, than America's interest, and because his bruised ego matters more to him than our democracy or our Constitution. He can't accept he lost. Even though that's what 93 United States senators, his own attorney general, his own vice president, governors and state officials in every battleground state have all said he lost.
Hell yes! Tell it like it is, Joe. Come on! So simple, so true. That's it. I loved it. I love that speech today. Truly a powerful speech. That is the Joe Biden I remember. Biden finished with a powerful call to action.
So now let's step up, write the next chapter in American history, where January 6th marks not the end of democracy, but the beginning of a renaissance of liberty and fair play. I did not seek this fight brought to this Capitol 1 year ago today. But I will not shrink from it either.
Come on, I'll fight you, leprechaun style. Come on. I tell you. No. Say hello to my two friends, Liberty and Fair Play. I'm gonna beat the defecation out of you.
Predictably, Biden's speech prompted a response from former President Dubious Caesar.
Biden, who was destroying our nation with insane policies of open borders, corrupt elections, disastrous energy policies, unconstitutional mandates, and devastating school closures, used my name today to try to further divide America.
No, he didn't. He didn't use your name once, you Nimrod. Listen to this.
The former president. He's not just a former president. He's a defeated former president.
So he didn't use his name, but Biden did make one direct reference to the former president.
Nazi.
Now, there were some notable absences from the ceremonies today. During a moving moment of silence for the officers who lost their lives, there were only two Republicans on the House floor. The other Republican legislators chose to reenact January 6th by hiding in fear. Former administration officials did show their faces on Fox News, like former White House chief of staff and guy who dilated his pupils just for the free optometrist shades, Mark Meadows. Meadows went on his Buddy Hannity show, and instead of discussing their now public, pants-crapping, terrified text exchange from a year back, Meadows complained in advance about how the media would cover it.
You're right to point out that tomorrow is going to be spent on January 6th.
Keen analysis. Meadows went on to predict the next day would be spent on January 7th. The day after might focus on January 8th. And by the weekend, we could see numbers as high as 9 or 10. In the kidneys, Doc. Kidneys. The January 6th Select Committee is hard at work investigating the riot. Yesterday, they spoke to a former White House press secretary and murderous Anne Klein mannequin, Stephanie Grisham. And today, Grisham told CNN she was helping the committee flesh out the details of January 6th.
There were a couple of things that they didn't know. There were things that I was able to confirm, and I think there were things that I was able to kind of help put together like a puzzle.
Yes, it's a puzzle. In this case, Sudoku.
Now, where was I? Ted Cruz. The site of the United States Senator going on TV to humiliate himself and beg for forgiveness for the grave sin of condemning a violent insurrection aimed at overthrowing American democracy. And look, we all know Ted Cruz has a thing for self-humiliation. He slinked back from Cancun after escaping a blackout in his state. He endorsed Donald Trump after Trump insulted his wife and his father and took that infamous photo where he made campaign calls for Trump, looking like Jack Lemmon and Glengarry Glen Ross. And he keeps showing up in public with that facial hair, looking like a Chewbacca who shaved everything but the beard. You see, Cruz originally said what you might think was a totally non-controversial thing about the anniversary of the January 6th insurrection.
We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week, and it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol.
I mean, it's the right thing to say, even though it's definitely a little weird to condemn an attack you helped whip up by spreading the very lies that fueled that mob. It's like when OJ promised to find the real killer, except in Cruz's case, it's arguably worse because he's doing it at the scene of the crime. Imagine if OJ had gone back to the house to look for the clues. Whoa, who left these gloves here? These are supposed to go in the armoire, guys. They shrink if you leave them outside. But the actual language Cruz used was pretty standard fare. In fact, it's the bare minimum, he should have said. If anything, the only part that was surprising about it was that it was a fairly normal thing from a guy who was anything but normal. On top of being one of the most disliked politicians on the planet, he's also one of the weirdest. Dude posed with a butter cow, dug into some queso on camera, and appeared to eat a booger on stage during a live national debate like he was trying to win money on some weird Japanese game show. Anyway, the point is, even that bare minimum condemnation of the January 6th attack was apparently too much for the new enforcers of Republican orthodoxy like Tucker Carlson, For them, no criticism of what happened on January 6th is allowed, and their new litmus test is that the attempted coup was a good thing. So Cruz had to go on Tucker's show to grovel and debase himself and say that he didn't actually mean to condemn the violent insurrection he helped foment on January 6th.
You called this a terror attack when by no definition was it a terror attack. That's a lie. You told that lie on purpose, and I'm wondering why you did.
Well, Tucker, thank you for having me on. When you aired your episode last night, I sent you a text shortly thereafter and said, listen, I'd like to go on because the way I phrased things yesterday, it was sloppy and it was frankly dumb. And
I don't buy that. Whoa. I don't buy that. Look, I've known you a long time since before you went to the Senate. I do not believe that you used that accidentally. I just don't.
So, Tucker, as a result of my sloppy phrasing, it's caused a lot of people to misunderstand what I meant. The reason the phrasing was sloppy is I have talked dozens, if not hundreds of times. I've drawn a distinction. I wasn't saying that the thousands of peaceful protesters supporting Donald Trump are somehow terrorists. I wasn't saying the millions of patriots across the country supporting President Trump are terrorists. And that's what a lot of people have misunderstood
that
comment.
Wait a second, but even your way, but hold on. What you just said doesn't make sense.
Tucker, I agree with you. It was a mistake to say that yesterday.
Wow, I knew Ted had a thing for self-humiliation, but that is next level. Imagine begging for forgiveness from a cable news host while he sits there with that look he always has on his face, like he's trying to remember the name of the other guy from Wham. Was it the talented Mr. Ripley? That performance was so embarrassing. Cruz even got mocked by the graphic under him as he was talking, which said cruising for a bruising. How much more humiliating can it get? I also like how Cruz finds a way to mention in that clip that he texted Tucker like they're good pals. Unfortunately for Ted, anytime he tries to text or call someone, it comes up as spam likely, or in his case, likely made of spam. And yet this debacle keeps getting worse for Cruz because he proudly tweeted out the clip of himself groveling, which is a little like posting a video of yourself landing nards first on a handrail during a skateboard fail with the caption, check out how epic this is. But this is the core of modern GOP politics. You have to prove to the base that you have no dignity, that you're willing to humiliate yourself for them, and that there's nothing too pathetic for you to do in order to win their favor. That's why they all slinked back to Trump after he brutally mocked and insulted all of them, because reverence and loyalty to Trump above all else is the litmus test for GOP politics. That's also why key figures in the attempted coup are now refusing to cooperate with the investigation into what happened on that day, like Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, who announced that he won't cooperate with the committee despite repeatedly insisting he had, quote, nothing to hide. Although it certainly seems like he did have something to hide, given this incredibly cagey interview he did a while back with a reporter who asked him if he talked to President Trump on the day of the insurrection.
Yes or no, did you speak with President Trump on January 6th?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke with the president last week. I speak with the president all the time. I spoke with him on January 6th. I mean, I talk with President Trump all the time. I'm actually kind of amazed sometimes that people keep asking this, but of course I talk with the president all the time. I talk with him, like I said, I talked with him last week.
On January 6th, did you speak with him before, during, or after the Capitol was attacked?
I'd have to go. I spoke with him that day after, I think after. I don't know if I spoke with him in the morning or not. I just don't know. I'd have to go back and. I don't know that when those conversations happened.
But I gotta go back. Those were straightforward questions, and he melted down like a Coen Brothers villain.
Jordan was deeply involved in the efforts to throw out the 2020 election results, but yesterday he announced that he was refusing to cooperate with the January 6th committee investigating the Capitol riot. Turns out, after wrestling with the decision, the committee showering him with the opportunity to speak up, Jim Jordan has decided he saw nothing. Ohio State. Look it up. In a statement, Jordan explained that being asked to help get to the bottom of what happened on January 6th is far outside the bounds of any legitimate inquiry, violates core constitutional principles, and would serve to further erode legislative norms. Yes, we must not erode legislative norms. Or as one January 6th analyst put it,
yeah!
Thank you, Senator Buffalo Nipples. But we are learning some things about the plot to overturn the election. Turns out, in December of 2020, the National Archives received fake state documents declaring the ex-president
the winner. You can't put fake documents in the National Archives. Our National Repository is reserved only for the Founding Fathers' secret treasure maps. Basically, a group of MAGA morons in Michigan and Arizona forged certificates to trick the National Archives into declaring their guy the winner. So they were attempting a coup via fake ID. Okay, it says here your name is Ida Real Prez. Checks out. Give them the nuclear codes. Now, no surprise, the National Archives saw right through the fake documents, and the MAGA fraudsters did try their best. The Arizona letter featured a state seal in an attempt to appear as if it was an official document. Now, it turns out, Republicans are going crazy from sea to shining sea. Case in point, Indiana State Senator Scott Baldwin. In December, Baldwin introduced a bill that would prohibit schools from teaching a variety of concepts related to sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, and national origin, leaving shop class and 6 hours of dodgeball. Baldwin's bill has been getting a lot of blowback for not letting teachers teach. So the state Senate had a hearing last week where a high school teacher explained why educators can't always be neutral.
It's second semester of U.S. history, so we're learning about the rise of fascism and the rise of Nazism right now. And I'm just not neutral on the political ideology of fascism. We're not neutral on Nazism. We take a stand in the classroom against it, and it matters that we do.
I'm not discrediting, as a person, Marxism, Nazism, fascism. I'm not discrediting any of those isms out there. And I have no problem with the education system providing instruction on the existence of those isms. I believe that we've gone too far when we take a position on those isms as it relates to, we need to be impartial.
He's saying we should reserve judgment about the Nazis, just like they do in the classic scene.
Don't shoot! Let's hear the Nazis out!
Turns out not discrediting Nazis, not the most popular opinion in Indiana. So Baldwin released this statement. Nazism, Marxism, and fascism are a stain on our world history and should be regarded as such, and I failed to adequately articulate that in my comments. Failed to adequately articulate is a pretty generous way of describing I said the exact opposite. Kind of like when Sir Mix-a-Lot released a statement saying, when I said that I like big butts and I cannot lie, I failed to articulate that I'm actually more of a boob guy.
The point is, there's nothing too humiliating or pathetic for these guys. All that matters to them is serving Trump and the GOP's authoritarian assault on democracy, and they'll embarrass themselves as much as they have to in order to do it.
Steve, excuse me, Steve. I know you know we had a interrupted call. Okay, I did not hang up, but I'm sure you're not going to post this follow-up. No. Why would you post this? Okay, you want to make it look like I hung up. You probably didn't pay your cell phone bill, so that's why it didn't connect, but I pay very strongly. But all you have to do, excuse me, there was tremendous voter fraud. Everybody knows it. You know it. I know it. And strong people know it. And they know it strongly. And all you have to do is look. There were so many places, where fake votes were coming through. Fake votes. There were more votes than people. You just have to look in the right places. You look in Washington, D.C. You look in Philadelphia, Brooklyn, okay? You look in Detroit. You look in Milwaukee, okay? Which is not like the real Wisconsin. Yeah, you look in, Chicago. Look in Chicago. You'll find more votes than there were people, okay? You look in South Central Los Angeles. You look in all sorts of places. You can look in, check out Wakanda, okay? I bet you'll find strong voter fraud there. You check out, the Source Awards, you heard of this? Well, they were flooding the ballots. Also at the BET Awards, too. They were telling me, sir, they're doing more ballot stuffing than you've ever seen. They were doing strong ballot stuffing. And, you know, Mike Pence was saying he wants to get stuffed at the BET Awards, right? You noticed all that. And then, you check out the McDowells in Queens, where I grew up very strongly until they became radical left and I left for Florida. You check out the McDowells, okay, from Coming to America. There was a tremendous amount of voter fraud there. So you're not going to report this, I know. You're not going to report this at all. But Mitch McConnell is a stupid turtle, very weak, only cares about himself, not our country, not about election integrity, but he cares about himself. So he's weak and he's stupid and he's a turtle. And all you have to do is look at these places. Check out Tyler Perry Studios. I bet you there was a tremendous amount of voter fraud there. So we're fighting your fake news, and I'm not hanging up. It's just your cell phone going out. Bye.
Thanks this week for the songs from Husker Du and The Late Show. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Donald Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump, Matt Gaetz, Stephen Colbert, Joe Biden, Montgomery Burns, Seth Meyers, Tucker Carlson, Ted Cruz, Jim Jordan, and J.L. Covan.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.